suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. The conqueror, victorious king and lord over every living thing." They tried to reject him, but he couldn't be ignored. They tried to take him out, but he couldn't be defeated. They said he was dead, but they didn't know the ending. Mighty Savior, he reigns forever. Jesus is alive.
Woo! Yeah, man. Good morning, church. Are you ready? You know, shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus' followers in Jerusalem would pass each other, and they would say something. The one would say, "He is risen," and the other would say, "He is risen indeed." He is risen.
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 Now, resurrection is a scary thing. John Ortberg is a famous pastor in California, and he writes a lot of books. He tells a story, a true story about a pastor actually from Minnesota. His name was John. This was quite a few years ago, Pastor John in Minnesota. And he used to actually put on funeral services, burials, for those without churches. And way up north or, you know, way where there were no churches. So he would provide a Christian burial, and he would go with the funeral director in the hearse, provide these burials, and then come back. Well, one time they were coming back from a burial, and he was very tired. He asked the funeral director, "Well, can I sleep in the back of the hearse?" He said, "Sure." So he slept in the back of the hearse. They needed gasoline. The funeral director pulled into the gas station. This was back in the day when they would pump gas for you, clean your windows, check your tires. The young man was a little bit eerie approaching a hearse. Checked the tires, checked the windows, pumping gas. He looks down, he sees this body stretched in the back, thought that was kind of weird. All of a sudden, Pastor John wakes up, true story, opens up his eyes, sits up, he's an extrovert, knocks on the window and waves to the guy, and he started running. And word is, he's still running. Resurrections are scary. They can be dangerous. Are you ready to receive resurrection power today? Because it can be scary, really scary. But Jesus Christ has a plan. He wants us to experience his resurrection power in our own lives, in our families, in our church. And we see this with all boldness in John chapter 11. It's a wonderful story. It kind of goes like this. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, Lazarus is really sick, like way past the Minnesota three-day flu. I mean, if they don't believe that he's sick, just before he dies, he'll tell them, "Right on my tombstone, I told you I was sick." Okay? So he's super sick, and they say, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, the Greek language has four different words for love, and the one here is phileto, which is Philadelphia, brotherly love. And so this is a very good friend of Jesus. He not only loves Lazarus. I mean, it's one thing to love someone, another thing to like someone. This was a very good friend of Jesus, one of his closest friends. So how might Jesus respond to one of his closest friends who's on his deathbed? Check this out. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. What a great friend. I would just want to be honest with you just up front. Oftentimes I have issues or concerns. I know God's the, you know, he's the potter, I'm the clay, but in all respect, I'm kind of frustrated at times. And here's one of my big frustrations. God seems slow, especially when I'm in a hurry. At the age of 20, I wanted to get married. I was ready. In 21, I was ready. 22, "God, send me that woman. Send me my wife." I was 27 years old. by the time he sent me my wife. What about you? Is there stuff in your life that you want right now, but the timing doesn't seem to work? Kind of reminds me of those three golfers. A pastor, a doctor, and an engineer. And they were just tearing up the course, just going straight up ahead. Then they ran into a foursome that was super slow. And the foursome, typically when you golf and you're super slow and someone's behind you faster, you kind of oblige and let them pass, but that was not happening at all. And so the threesome was very, very upset. In fact, the engineer said, man, they are slow. They're like old honey trying to get out of a tube, right? And the doctor said, yeah, this is kind of crazy. And the pastor said, well, then he sees a groundskeeper. He says, hey, groundskeeper, asked the pastor, what's with these four golfers? They're so slow. And the groundskeeper says, oh, those are four blind firemen. And about a year ago, our clubhouse was on fire, and they went in and rescued so many people and saved their lives. But in the meantime, they were blinded. And as a gift, we offer them to golf anytime and as much as you want. And the pastor said, oh, what a gracious act of kindness. I'm going to pray for them. Then the doctor says, well, I have some ophthalmologist friends, and I'm going to see if they can maybe help these firemen. And then the engineer said, well, I like your sensitivity, but why can't these guys golf at night? Okay. Sometimes I feel like that engineer. It's not my timing. I love this quote from Lisa Tursis. Disappointment isn't proof God is withholding good things from us. Sometimes it's his way of leading us home, not just to eternal life, but having a relationship with us. Do you have any disappointments right now? Any disappointments? Things just aren't working out? Yesterday, Ann and I visited a dear friend in the hospital. About 2 weeks ago, he had a quadruple bypass. Things didn't go so well. When he awoke from the operation, his whole left side was paralyzed. He has a little bit of movement now, not much. We went and visited him, and we were praying for healing. We prayed healing into him. And of course, he's having a difficult time, wouldn't you? God, heal me. Heal me. But what I see in this man is a different strength that God is providing in him in his heart, because he has the fight in him. He's not going to give up. And I see his wife, and I see God doing a work in her and the kids, and I see a different thing that Jesus is doing with them than maybe a healing. And so I ask, you know, in this whole story with Lazarus, what is Jesus up to? I think it's this. I'm not looking to heal you. I'm looking to resurrect you. Now, God can heal anyone. But maybe God wants to resurrect you instead of heal you. Well, you say, well, I'm not dead. I'm talking spiritually. Maybe God wants to resurrect stuff in you that was alive at one time in your heart. It made you just a beautiful person. But something happened to you, either you were hurt or damaged, or you just got too busy, and now those good things in your life that God put in you are hidden. And God wants to resurrect those in you. Will you allow him to do that today? This is the real deal. This is the real deal. And Martha just couldn't figure it out. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She's clueless of what's going on. Lord, if you've been here, you would have healed them. Of course. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. I have faith with whatever you ask, he'll give you. Well, your brother will rise again. And she's like, duh, it's the last day. And Jesus means like now. She doesn't get it. See, we can live in this frame of reference where we settle for mediocrity. We're not really looking for God to change our hearts and change us from the inside and provide some resurrection power. In fact, I love C.S. Lewis. He has this great quote. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, and we are far too easily pleased. I am so tired of making mud pies in the slums. I don't know about you. I want to make sandcastles by the sea. Do you believe in the power of the resurrection? Maybe you came here for a healing, and God can heal you, but maybe he wants to resurrect something in you that was beautiful at one time, but now is dead because something's going on in your life. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die spiritually. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? What does that mean, do you believe this? That the story of the resurrection isn't just Jesus' story, it's our story as well. Do you believe that? Boy, you don't sound convinced this morning. Do you believe that, church? Yes. Check this out. One of my favorite verses. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us up also. And of course, that's talking about our physical resurrection, but it can be spiritual also. Right now, today, the real deal. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I long to know and experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you came here for a healing maybe, but God wants to do something. He wants to resurrect something in you that was beautiful at one time, but you got crushed, something happened, or perhaps you're just too busy. And today's the day for God to resurrect that in you. At this point, Jesus says, okay, I'm going to give my attention to Lazarus. And once more, deeply moved, he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone. I love that. Take away the stone, he said. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He knows he's connected with the Father. I've prayed a lot for people to be healed. I've never prayed for someone to be resurrected from the dead. God hasn't led me to do that up to this point. But I have prayed for people to be healed. And sometimes during that time, I just know God's going to heal that person. And I'm just conduit at that time, but it's such a confidence that you can have when you're walking with God and God just speaks to you. And it's all him, it's not us. And this is my favorite part. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Not the live man came out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes. Let that man go. Let that man go. Now, in a group this large, I would assume, I'm not going to assume anything. I'm probably just going to assume, just say half you follow Jesus and half you don't really know who Jesus is. But kind of want to address those people who you don't know Jesus. And it's just kind of ponder this. If there is going to be a resurrection, there first needs to be death. Does that make sense? I mean, you can't have a resurrection until you have a death. What does that mean? It means we're not saved by our religion, by doing things. It means we're saved by a relationship with Jesus, where he died on the cross for our sins, and we're just broken, and we figured out that we can't live well without Jesus. Our sin is killing us. And we get to the point where we need a Savior, and we die to ourselves, and we say, not my will, but your will, God. Not my will, but your will. And we humbly approach the Savior of the universe and say, I want to receive your love. I give you my sin. I am dead in the water without you. And that's how we initiate a relationship with Jesus. And once you initiate that relationship with Jesus, amazing things happen. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. About a year ago, Easter, at that time I was witnessing to a fella that God laid on my heart, and I invited him to church here. He never came. He didn't come on Easter, but 2 weeks after Easter, he came. And I was up here preaching, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God really was getting a hold of him, and he was just crying. And we have prayer partners after the service, and he came up, and I happened to be one of the prayer partners that Sunday, and he came up just saying, I need Jesus, but I don't know if he'll accept me because I still smoke pot, and I really like smoking pot. And I don't know if Jesus will accept me. Well, you know, people have this idea that we have to get all clean first, approach Jesus, and then he'll accept us. It's just the opposite. Jesus wants us broken, where we say, I'm a miserable wreck. I'm just going to come to you just like this. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you're going to make something new out of me. And God has made something new out of my friend. It's just absolutely amazing. Hey, folks, I wouldn't stand up here and try and convince you what Jesus can do in your life and the joy he can bring unless it was true. He's done it for me. He's done it for so many of you. And he wants to do it for some of you this morning, and you've never made that choice. And this morning, if the Spirit of God's working on you and you're sensing, this is the morning for me to receive Jesus as my Savior, text CROSS to 77948. Just text it right now. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And we will send you some information and get you on that road to discovering what a relationship with Jesus looks like. Okay, so I addressed some of you here who perhaps don't have that relationship with Jesus. Now, those of you who are Christ followers, I have something I want you to ponder. If you've already died and have experienced resurrection life, make sure your grave clothes are off. Serious. Are your grave clothes on? Were you no fun? There's no joy. Wherever you go, you're just not bringing life like you used to. When Lazarus came out, remember, he couldn't take him off alone. Jesus says, hey, help the man. And some of us, when we get these grave clothes on, we might need some help. Some other Jesus followers, hey, help get these grave clothes off me, man. Come on. I want to live for God. But then there's that time when it comes to dealing with this, where we're going to have some individual time with God. And it kind of looks like this. In order to take off my grave clothes, I must ask Jesus to reveal what needs to be resurrected within my heart this year. What needs to be resurrected in your heart this year? And maybe it's stuff that's covering you that you have to get rid of. Maybe there's some idols in your life. Maybe your children, maybe that's your idol. And what God is saying is, no, your children are not your idol. God says, I want you to worship me. I'll take care of your kids. Put them in my hands. Trust me. Maybe your idol is work or success, and you're a Jesus follower, but you're just overtaken with being successful, and no longer is God part of your life. You're kind of walking through the hoops. Now you got grave clothes on. You know, what is it for us believers, how we can walk around and not have the power of the resurrection in our life? Is that God's fault or our fault? It's our fault. Well, today's the day to get rid of that. Right now. I was thinking very deeply the past couple of days, what is it in my life that I need to resurrect that has been kind of hidden in my, and I haven't been as effective with my family as I should be? You know what it is for me? I'm just going to be brutally honest here. Hope. Hope. Typically, I'm a Tigger. Bouncing around, hope, 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 hope. But lately, the Tigger hasn't been there. Why? And I thought, I think I'm trying to do things in the energy of the flesh. I don't think I'm trusting the sovereignty of God. I'm just being very vulnerable with you. And I just got on my knees yesterday and just got clean with God on that one, saying, you know what? Enough of me. I need more of you, God. I am going to trust you now. I don't have enough energy. I'm not smart enough. I don't have anything that I can get me out of this. I got to bring hope into my family, more hope into my friends, more hope into this church. And I don't need a healing. I need resurrection power to change me from the inside. What about you? And so you would think, after people seeing Jesus, you know, raise Lazarus from the dead, that everyone would be convinced, but it wasn't so. And this actually shocks me. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him, of course. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What happened there is they talked to the Sanhedrin, who hated Jesus. And that's when they conspired to kill him during Passover, which was 2 weeks from this time. They knew Passover in Jerusalem would be full of Jews. They said, we will convince the crowds that he is not the Son of God. We will get the crowds to turn on their Savior. And it worked. And Jesus, about 2 weeks after this, died on the cross for our sins. But 3 days later, oh, here we go. 3 days later, sin could not keep him down. Death could not keep him down, and he arose from the dead. The dead man walked out of the grave. Amen. Amen. The dead man walked out of the grave. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And Jesus came here, of course he came here, and he can heal us, he can heal you, he can do anything he wants. But I believe what he wants to do this morning is resurrect us from our spiritual deadness. Some of us to new life for the first time, others of us for new life time and time again. And may we always remember that Jesus lives, and he never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit of God, do a work in our lives. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his suffering for us, but yet his resurrection from the dead. It means everything to us. I pray for anyone in here, perhaps, who has not made that decision that to follow you, that they will make it today and not hesitate and find new life in you. And I pray for others here, Lord, who've been walking with you, but we have grave clothes on. May we remove those grave clothes and trust you and go deep within ourselves and discover those things that you want to resurrect in our lives, to bring back into our families, in our communities, in our church. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.